Hello, America. Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good to be with you. And we really hope that you'll start sharing because we're not getting any help in sharing, if you know what I mean. So please share because we're tapping into some sources that are new, combining with our sources that are old. And we've got some amazing stories that we're putting out. And I think our Charlie Kirk stuff is as good or better than what anyone else has done, maybe with the exception of Candace. But right now, Candace is a little bit on hiatus, not entirely, but for understandable reasons. And we're picking up the torch. And we've got a story coming out later today that's going to rock your world. So we're asking for your help to please share. We are brought to you by the products, I should say, that saved my life, turned my life around, and it's the three-pack from Magic Dicol. You get three liquid sprays, and this is the immune system builder that brought me back from strip lung linings, where, no, nothing we can do, Dave. That's what modern medicine told me, and that was not ending up being the case. Get three. You also get the topical gel right here. And you rub this on your joints, and over time, it begins to produce pluripotent stem cells. Now, it's not like you take it on Monday, and on Tuesday, everything is fine. It's a process, and you have to be diligent in the application. But if you are, you'll get the benefits I've got, where I've got no restrictions on my knees, where before I'd blow up like a grapefruit when I tried to work out, and I'd have to take 3 or 4 days off. Don't have to do that anymore. It's a benefit. Also, too, there's the wrinkle cream. Also treats cuts and burns, and you've seen me use it for a bad cut that I had. You saw the amazing progress together, the 3-in-1, 15% off the starter pack. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. Well, we have to ask a fundamental question yesterday. I revisited a very old topic. It goes back really to the inception of our website, and I was talking about the old New World Order and the new version of the New World Order. And that new version was just blossoming, but not in time to help John McCain win the presidency from Barack Obama in the election of 2008. And I was appearing on talk shows talking about the divergent camps. Now, big tech has entered, and as I covered yesterday, they're fundamentally opposed and stand in opposition in many ways, although they have some joint projects, but they stand largely in opposition to the old money of the world. That's right. And we're talking European banking. And Trump had a decision to make coming in. There's no sitting in the middle. Either go with big tech and the new version of those that want to dominate, or you go to the old version. The new version on the surface is a lot less controlling, not as destructive. They're not into starting wars and making money on that whole process where the old group is. But there's a danger. Big tech, well, people like to see their projects carried out to its fruition. And the fruition for big tech is total AI, 15-minute cities, loss of liberty, scientific management of human units, and that's how they refer to us, human units. And they have to bypass our constitutional protections to do so. They've already managed to do it with the privacy issue. This is just the first run. They got the digital ID in, which is totally unconstitutional. It's totally unconstitutional for the federal government to tell the states you must have a ID. And it has to have these uniformities in it across the country. That is illegal under the 10th Amendment. And no one's challenging it. That's what's just amazing. And this is just basic civics, basic American government, what you learned in 12th grade. And I'm just dumbfounded that we're not challenging this real ID. It will do nothing to make travel safer. Nothing. They haven't demonstrated one way or one instance where this has been helpful or will be helpful. They just want to ID you and be able to track you. And it's a platform that can be stacked upon. And here's what you need to know. The stacked upon platform, it won't just be, hey, my address, where I live, my phone number, do I have a criminal history? Now we start piling on medical information, personal hobbies and interests, so we can market the living hell out of you. And they go on and add and add and add, and eventually you get into a naughty or nice list. We know the NSA has maintained one of those for decades. We know a little bit about it, but we don't know the details. And you go, well, how do you know about it, Dave? Well, Vance Davis, former NSA, frequent guest on my show, good friend. We've been friends for over 30 years. But we don't have a lot of data on that program. But that data may be becoming a dinosaur because of what's coming on the real ID. And this is the product of big tech. And they have to have all this in line so they can control you with social credit, violate your rights, violate your freedom of movement, violate your freedom of choices on what you eat, where you live, how many kids you can have. I mean, these are all things that are in the big tech literature. Now you're saying, well, Dave, where does the World Economic Forum come into all this? Very simple. They play both sides against the middle. They cater to the old money, okay? But they also cater to big tech. Freedom is an illusion to these people. You are a biological unit to be managed the same as AI. That's how you are viewed. It is a total dehumanization of the planet's population. You don't matter. Your desires, your hopes, your spirituality. In fact, that actually might get in the way. What did the World Economic Forum put out a few years ago? They were going to have AI rewrite the Bible. I just got three words for those people: Sodom and Gomorrah. I don't think mocking God is the right business to be in, but they seem to have no holds barred. Does big tech embrace this? You can find people who do individually. As a movement, they don't. But what is a movement, what they support is total AI control. Total AI control. And I'll tell you who was ahead of the curve on all this. And I used to interview him a lot on this topic, and it was Patrick Wood on the topic of, before he really got into what he called technocracy, connecting the smart grids. And people laughed at us when we said they're interconnecting the grids between various metropolitan areas. And eventually they have plans and are laying the foundation to interconnect our grid with Europe. This is why when the Europeans are doing these crazy things with banking, like almost making savings illegal and certainly subject to confiscation by certain rules that are thinly veiled, we own you. I said, this is something we need to worry about because we're intertwined with our system. And a system is holistic, and that system just can't exist in Europe, and then it's a vacuum here. It's part of the same system. Bank of International Settlements, central banks for each country. And that's the hierarchy. Well, big tech is really upsetting this right now. In fact, actually, in their future, no banks will exist. Oh, everything will be digitized. No need for a bank. Controlling AI at the heart of it, with built-in algorithms to punish you for bad behavior. And you're saying, well, Dave, isn't that kind of science fiction? If you've taken a look at China, this is where this was experimented with. This is where it was rolled out. Now, here's the fundamental question. In Trump's first term, he sued big tech firms, including Facebook. In this, his second term, he hosts dinners for them at the White House and praises their intelligence, and they are gushing in their thanks and praise in return of Donald Trump. Now, if I had to choose between the two bad choices, big tech dominance, old money dominance, I'd choose the big tech. But both carry a big cost. The cost with the old money, that's already known. They have centuries of exposing who they really are. The big tech, we're not sure how far they'll go. Wait till you hear a later segment we're going to do about Elon Musk warning about all this. What he says is chilling, and we'll get into that in a later segment. Now, here's the fundamental question. Has Donald Trump captured big tech, or has big tech captured Donald Trump? He's clearly going against European banking interests. Europe wants a war with Russia. Trump isn't going to let them have it. And as the dominant member of NATO, we have a lot of say on how that progresses. And right now, we're not cooperating with their warlike, mongering ways. They want that war. Why? Natural resources. That's why. Why do countries do anything? In fact, actually, that will lead us into today to a real discussion, honest discussion of Venezuela. No, they don't sell that many opioids in America, if any. And we'll get into that in a later segment because everything spins off of this conflict between the two groups. The one thing that's scary, and the one thing that's very scary to me, is if one side begins to lose, will they go the Samson option? And if I can't have it, no one will, and we have total destruction. We used to talk in the 70s about doomsday weapons. If you're going to lose, blow it all up. And it was validated. I mean, even people like Daniel Ellsberg, Pentagon Papers, he actually talked about this. And it is an option within nuclear community-based nations. So, is Trump in charge or is big tech in charge? Or is Trump using big tech to establish dominance? Well, I think we have a partial answer to that if we look into a guy named Russ Vought. We're going to do that in the next segment. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show, and we'll see you back here again next time. There is always the man behind the man, and I don't care what administration you're talking about. I don't care what country you're talking about. There's the power behind the power, and the power behind our president has now been exposed. And we're doing that right here on the Common Sense Show. My name is Dave Hodges. I'm the host. We're the show Freeing America, One Enslaved Mind at a Time. And we are brought to you by a great set of products, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really happy to bring this to you because this represents really the best in new modern healthcare, which is frequency based. Think of Star Trek and the old tricorder, right? The original Star Trek series. Well, these products here reflect the growing interest in research in natural healthcare or regular healthcare based frequency applications. And I use two of them right here. And you can see right here the EMF defense on the back of the phone. I don't want glioblastoma. I want those EMF waves blocked. And then the energy band, if listen to me, if you wear it to bed, you're not going to be sleeping very well. It works. It's all natural, no side effects whatsoever. They also have the pain patch and the sleep patch. Fortunately, knock on wood, I don't have a need for that. You might. These products are tremendous. Great discounts, 30-day money-back guarantee. Go to BodyAlign, Align, BodyAlign.com/Dave Hodges. That's BodyAlign.com/Dave Hodges. Well, there's always the man behind the man. Sometimes it's the woman behind the man. The man behind the man. We have such a man. His name is Russ Vought. Now, people try to link him to a lot of things like Project 2025. I don't know if that's true, but it fits his MO. He's on record, and this is a key presidential advisor, the key presidential advisor. He is on record of saying we need to increase the power of the presidency. Okay. They're doing that. We're seeing it now, and the Democrats are freaking out. Now, I don't know how they could freak out when Joe Biden issued all these executive orders with an auto pen, not his signature, of course, and they basically killed the energy industry in this country in his first 30 days in office, and that sent our economy into a tailspin. So I don't know how the Democrats have the right to freak out about anything. No clue. However, it is true the power of the presidency seems to be increased, and particularly financially, and something we've mentioned it with regard to where the economy's going with digitization, with gold, silver, crypto. We've we've hit on those topics, but there's a whole lot more coming that we're going to cover, and it's coming out of this camp, the Rust Vote camp, and it will give the president a lot of power on the implementation of what kind of economic system we're going to evolve into, because the old one's nearly dead. It's DOA. That's right. I mean, it's on life support and it's not resuscitating very well. So Rust Vote, increase the power of the presidency. And here's the second thing that you really should be looking at, and you go, oh my goodness, this is really, really concerning. If you play this out to its logical conclusion, he wants to dismantle the federal bureaucracy. Now, listen, I think there's some good things about this. And this is the basis of DOGE. And DOGE was more than likely a Rust Vote idea. Wasn't Elon Musk? I mean, he went along with it. And while he was part of it, he executed it pretty well. Perfectly? No, because it's a monstrosity. It's hard to unravel a monstrosity. You ever got cords all tangled up and you sit there and just go here to. That's what DOGE was about, trying to unravel the nonsense. But dismantling the federal bureaucracy, I am in total favor of the elimination of the Federal Department of Education. Why? Because number one, it's unconstitutional. Nowhere in the Constitution does it say the federal government will dictate how each state does its education, but they do. And they use the power of the purse to enforce it. Well, now we're seeing the federal bureaucracy of the Department of Education become a shell of its former self. Well, this is a good thing because people say, well, we need their money. You're not getting any money. You're not getting any money. The money doesn't even filter down to the schools or the teachers or the administrators. That's right. NEA got $5 billion from the Biden administration. You don't see teacher salaries going up now, do you? You don't see more going on with the classroom, better classrooms, better education. You don't see that. They're using it for their programs, most of them the woke programs. And that's what the federal bureaucracy of education was about. Wasn't about education, it was about indoctrination. So I think that was a good thing. How far will this go, though? Will we go so far in the Rust Vote plan to eliminate much of the federal bureaucracy to the point where there are no guardrails on presidential action from a constitutional point of view? Uh-oh, if you heard my last segment, you heard me say that big tech can easily and sometimes are doing end run around the Constitution. If you eliminate the federal bureaucracies that in part act like watchdogs for civil liberties, you've got a problem. Is Rust Vote laying the foundation for big tech government and our constitutional protections are set aside? He is often called the shadow president. I think that is an excellent, excellent term. Now, for a while here, I've heard of him going back in time, but he was always just kind of on the periphery of really being understood and discovered. Now he's getting some airtime. And although we're all concerned in the conservative movement about Wiles and why is she part of the Trump administration when she clearly has anti-MAGA, anti-America first attitudes, why is she still in his administration in a prominent position? Well, we're concerned about that, but I believe her power is far secondary to the shadow president. We need to shine light on this to see how far it's going to go. I'll tell you what my gut tells me. This is where my instincts go on this. Trump does care about the American people, and he has proven it time and time and time again. So people that want to come back and say, oh, he's just a total globalist, this and that, you're using simplistic logic based on very scattered evidence that doesn't form a holistic part. It just doesn't. But that doesn't mean that his presidency can't be captured, as I pointed out in the last segment. Does he think he can use these people to a point to get the power he needs to affect the changes he needs to make America great again? And you're thinking, man, Dave, you're really going out on a limb with that hypothesis. Well, I don't think it's a hypothesis. I think it's past practice. I'll just give you one clear example. We all had a poop fit when John Bolton was brought in as National Security Advisor. Are you kidding? This warmonger, this man of ill repute, bad ethics, can't trust him, people hate him that work with him, and you're bringing him in that key position, Mr. President? What are you thinking? Well, I can tell you what he was thinking. He used that old dog and then cast him to the curb when he was done with him. And in particular, it was about Colombia. Colombia is not America friendly, but they bend to the will of American economic dominance. And Bolton needed to have Guyana protected. Guyana has big natural resources, and we're going to be tapping into those as their big brother parent. But we couldn't have Brazil or Venezuela invade, and that was a real possibility with Guyana. So what we had to do was put a deterrent in Colombia, and John Bolton had the ability to do that. He did it. We put 10,000 troops there, something you didn't hear a lot about, sparse matter, mentioning here and there. But Bolton got the mission accomplished, and as soon as he was done with his mission, he was out the door. And today he's being legally pursued by the Trump administration. They can't stand him either, but they used him and got rid of him. Now, taking that past practice and applying it to what's going on today, is Trump letting his potential enemies close while not letting them be dominated, and then he'll flip the switch on them when it's time? That, I think, will be the future battle. The good news is he's clearly moved away from European banking interests that have dominated the world for centuries and are responsible for the starting and profiteering from every major war. And I'm glad to see that. The thing is this devil going to be worse than the other devil? And can Trump control that? And that's the bottom line. So then you have to look at Russ Vought. Who does he really represent? Well, if he wants to dismantle as much federal bureaucracy as possible, I think that's a move to basically lessen constitutional limitations upon the power of big tech. And I think that's scary. And that puts him in the camp with Wiles, who is not on your side. Susie Wiles is not your friend, America. Make no mistake about it. Oh, you don't know about this? Well, we've covered it, but I'll mention it here briefly. Coordinated big pharma lobbying institutions, multiple of them, not just a lobbyist controlling the lobbyist. So we move in lockstep so we can have this big pharma oligopoly. Okay, that's Susie Wiles. Now, are you America first or is America 1A? Well, she helped Netanyahu in his campaign in 2023. Read between the lines, people. Read between the lines. She's Chuck Schumer sitting in the Oval Office, only she's a lot smarter than Schumer. Is Russ Vought going to fall into the same category? I think it's possible. I think it's scary. And I think the American people need to know this so we can make intelligent decisions. The bottom line is right now the public will can overcome just about anything. But if a digitization system gets put into place, it doesn't matter if 100% of you are against something. It's not going to matter because they control all the levers of power. Food for thought. Make sure you check out our newsletter. The commonsenseshow.com is where you go. You click on the link on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner, put in your email. That's all we need. And you'll get everything that we do in the previous 24 hours. It's convenient, it's free, and over 50,000 people are doing it. And I would suggest you do it today because you'll get everything we do, one email, right to your email box every single day. Thanks for joining us. I just saw a portion of an interview between Joe Rogan and Elon Musk. And the implications of what Elon was revealing are monumental. I don't even know if frightening is the right word, but I have to be honest with you. I don't really fear Elon Musk, but I have to, when I heard him talk about what he was talking about and what I know is going on with DARPA research, images of the movie Fahrenheit 451 come into play. If you've not seen that, if you're younger and you're not familiar with that Ray Bradbury classic, you need to watch it. Because I went right there. This is frightening beyond belief. And there will be a part two on this tomorrow when I'll talk about technology that could be behind all this. And that's the scary part. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. We're brought to you by Noble Gold Starter. Dodd-Frank 2010 UCC Section 8, they can take your money from the bank anytime they want. They don't now because they're making money off lending your money out. But if the banks start to collapse, and that day is beginning to happen, right? Well, they can just hang on to it. And that includes your retirement and everything else associated with the bank. You need to keep operating capital in the bank, but you need to extricate your wealth and protect it. How do you do that? Well, gold's the fastest appreciating asset out there. Right now, it's being projected in this next year to go to 5,000 per ounce. That's right. This is the best time to get involved with Noble Gold. Also, too, they'll convert your retirement account. This is a great deal. This is maybe your last chance to protect your wealth before it's swallowed up by the Great Reset. Go to DaveHodgesGold.com. You get a free information packet, or you can call Noble Gold directly at 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Just telling you what I would do, not a financial advisor. Okay, anytime you do an investment, it's a risk. The risk is keeping your money in the bank. But I'll say this, you can trust this. I have been a customer of Noble Gold for over 8 years. That's a customer, not an advertiser. A customer. DaveHodgesGold.com. We'll see you back here for the main part of the segment. And I think you're going to just be shocked at what you see as I bring this to you. And I honestly wish this was not true. But this is a thought-provoking interview, to say the least.
But it keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. Where I know I've asked you a couple times. I'm like, this is bullshit, right? But like,
I'm not working on
so
one.
you're not working on
I'm not
nothing.
working on a phone.
Okay. Have you ever considered it? Has it ever popped into your head? Because you might be the only person that could get people off of the Apple platform.
Well, I can tell you where I think things are going to go. Which is that it's we're not going to have a phone or in the traditional sense. The what we call a phone will really be an edge node for AI inference for AI video inference with some radios to obviously connect to but it, essentially you'll have AI on the server side communicating to an AI on your device, formerly known as a phone, and generating real-time video of anything that you could possibly want. And I think that there won't be operating systems, there won't be apps in the future. There won't be operating systems or apps. It'll just be you've got a device that is there for the screen and audio and for and to put as much AI on the device as possible, so as to minimize the amount of bandwidth that's needed between your edge node device, formerly known as a phone, and the servers.
So, if there's no apps, what will people use? Like, will X still exist? Will there be email platforms, or will you get everything through AI?
You'll get everything through AI.
Everything through AI. What will be the benefit of that, as opposed to having individual apps?
Whatever you can think of, or really whatever the AI can anticipate you might want, it'll show you. That's my prediction for where things end up.
What kind of time frame are we talking about here?
I don't know. It's probably 5 or 6 years or something like that.
But it keeps coming up.
Wow. 5 or 6 years. I think it's going to be a lot quicker than that. No apps, no email servers. People say, oh, that can't happen. Oh, really? What happened to videotapes? What happened to CDs? Exactly. The Great Reset's going to come across the board. This is, what do they call this? The fourth wave? I mean, it's the second major industrial revolution in the United States, so I wouldn't call it industrial, it's high tech. And here's something I'm going to throw out to you, and I'm going to really show you the receipts for this tomorrow. Back in 2009, AT&T, culminating from tons of research going back to the turn of the century, said that they had the ability to translate thoughts into words. Now you're going, why AT&T? That's CIA stuff. Exactly. CIA uses front group technologies to front things like this with patents to keep all eyes off them because they're not supposed to be operating domestically. It's against the law. So you get AT&T to do it and you fund them with black money off the books. This is real, people. I've read the research. I've seen the patent. And for a patent to be granted, it has to have some validity. So let's take this back to what Elon's saying. And I'm not sure that this is his intention. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is the potential exists. So you've got this device, razor-thin device. And he said a really telling statement, what AI will show you what they anticipate you want to see. How far will the technology go? Will it be about incorporating AT&T technology with regard to turning brainwaves into words? And do you know what that's a half a step away from? And I don't see Elon being behind this, but can you say this is going to be proprietary and just controlled by Elon? I don't think so. But what could happen here is if they know what you're thinking, thought crimes is no longer a joke. Predictive policing becomes reality. Just based on the thoughts you have. And how many times have you had an evil thought? You say, man, I wish I'd die in a car accident. You go, oh, no, that's not Christian. I can't think that way. Sorry, Lord. And you move on. But we repeat to these reptilian impulses for self-protection. And now you have something that can pick it up. Wait until I give you the receipts on this tomorrow. This isn't imagination, science fiction, Star Trek history. This is none of that. This is real, bona fide, patented research. How far have they gone? They're not saying, but we have a good idea. Will this become part of it? Now let's leave the AT&T part out of it for a second. How concerning is it that you'll have no apps and AI controls everything you see? So if you control AI, you control people. This is total indoctrination. There's no question about that. I'm Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Do you like stealth? Yeah, I like stealth, and the Chinese are as good at it, better at it than anybody else. They have snuck up on us, and we now have a major problem, not just in our backyard that we're going to talk about primarily, but around the world. This is frightening. China is strapped economically, but they're taking the long view. And the long view threatens every single one of you. Don't get caught off guard by the next crisis. Just-in-time deliveries end in a crisis on day one, where the shelves get empty. So I'm going to strongly suggest to you that you go to My Patriot Supply and you order the 3-month food supply. You're going to get a month free, $247 value. You know what? Yeah, 25-year shelf life, restaurant quality food. All you got to do to get ready is go to preparewithdave.com. This fits our model. Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, natural medicine, tools, the Bible, the Constitution. That's your essential first level preparations. Food is right there at the top. Go to preparewithdave.com. Well, I don't know how we prepare for what's coming here. The Chinese, as you see, if you're watching on social media, you'll see it in the thumbnail. If not, you have to listen to this. But the Chinese have built Belt Road Initiative to most of the major ports in the world. Let's start globally, and then we'll focus on our backyard where I believe the greatest threat is. The port of Rotterdam is connected to Asia. So is Antwerp. Those are the two biggest ports in Europe, and the Chinese control the access by land. It tells you where this is going. And this is just two examples of many that I could run through. 22 years ago, we moved into our house. It was about 6 months in early 2004. We discovered our property rights were being stripped away. We were lied to. Oh, you're too close to an Air Force base. No, we weren't. That was a lie. we were in the way of the Canamex highway system. And there was an expanded system of the Free Trade Agreement, too, called Free Trade Area of the Americas. And that would come out of South America, incorporate the Central American Free Trade Agreement with the Canamex highway system into America through places like Brownsville, Yuma, San Diego. This is scary, scary stuff. But there is a gap. It's called the Darien Gap, which is Panama separated from South America. And the Chinese are dominating. And many of the Panamanian people aren't even aware of it, but they're building a constructed bridge across the Darien Gap. Not only that, they were present during the massive migration where they had Darien Gap camps. And we reported on the fact the Communist Chinese were prevalent. In fact, we actually identified for you, and we had Sam Arnold on, our Central and South American expert. And we talked about the fact there were three primary immigration routes into the United States. You had, number one, the masses, okay? Then you had the NGO sponsored, where they'd have halfway houses every so far where they would feed the migrants, repair their shoes, give them new clothing if they needed. That was the NGOs, places like Catholic Charities. That was the second route. The third route paralleled the Pacific, coming out of the Darien Gap, and this was exclusively Chinese. And this was the red alert that I raised. And then remember, we had the Border Patrol encounters with Chinese that were really military. Their mannerisms were military. They had IDs. We published pictures of that on our website. We did videos on this. We did shows on this. We had J.J. Carroll on to talk about this, as well as Sam Arnold and other experts. Well, the migrants may be down in number because they're having trouble crossing, but the Chinese routes are still there. And this is what the fundamental problem becomes. And this is where we need to take a step back and we need to say, why would the Chinese be interested in this route? Well, number one, they're going to get the Panama Canal. The Panamanian military, their border patrol, military, and intelligence all rolled into one. We don't have anything like that in America, but they do. They're well trained. They're trained by our spec ops, Army Rangers, Navy SEALs, and they're very, very good at what they do, but they don't have the muscle to keep the Chinese out. And the Chinese, one day, I mean, we're going to have a confrontation at the Panama Canal. You got to hope it doesn't get destroyed. The Chinese are determined to get it, but that's not where this stops. Think Red Dawn. You look at South America. Most of South America is anti-American, most of it. Some of Central America is anti-American. And this is a land-based invasion route being constructed into the United States. And it's not necessarily in 3 months or 6 months or even 2 years. But when we have our enemies, and China, make no mistake about it, is our enemy, constructing pathways that will lead to an international corridor system, the Canamex highway system, this is how they're going to transport their goods. This is scary. And if they occupy the Panama Canal, how much of our trade can they cut off? Well, actually, quite a bit. And this will have a huge economic impact on the United States as well. China is beginning to formulate their Belt and Road Initiative to control the major ports of the world. This is scary stuff. And I don't think we can count on help from Mexico. El Salvador is an ally, but they'll be gobbled up. Honduras, Guatemala, they're kind of neutral, more anti-American than not, cartel dominated. Yeah. And the Chinese, who do they do business with? Exactly. This is the Red Dawn under early construction. We raised that question before when we say, why would the Chinese be involved in massive migration and helping to promote and sponsor camps in the Darien Gap? They got a foothold. And if you think that's where they're going to stop, you don't understand the Chinese mentality. We have a lot to worry about. My name is Dave Hodges. This is the Common Sense Show. Hey, check out our TV show, the HIP series, Hiding in Plain Sight, Psychology, Sociology, Powers of the Mind, Repressed Technology, Hidden Secrets. Our great interviews are there. People love it. It's a little off the beaten path from what we do here, and people like the variation. So do I. It's fun to do. The CommonSenseShow.tv is where you want to go to sign up. Hey, everybody, my name is Dave Hodges. I am the host of the Common Sense Show. We want to welcome our friends in America and around the world to the show. We are dedicated, well, we're dedicated to following the Word of God, trying to bring peace and stability through information to our audience. We abhor the idea of war, and we talk about it a lot because calling attention to it can help prevent it. Wars sneak up on people. It's not like people say, well, we're going to go to war. No. It's covert. It comes in a moment. Things called snap drills happen where you're pretending to be drilling and it turns into an attack. Well, that's what Germany did to Poland to start World War II in Europe. So you look at this and you're saying, well, what do we stand for here? Peace, word of God, the betterment of mankind. So sometimes we got to get down into the gutter and tell you some of the bad things that are going on. One, so you can pray for it. Two, so you can prepare to deal with it should something come to a really high level that's threatening to everybody. And this is going to be one of those broadcasts. This is a broadcast in which we are going to look at something devastating. And I think I have narrowed down where World War III will start in Europe, and it will not be in Ukraine. Although it will be related to Ukraine. And I've talked about this place before, but it's now taken on new meaning because the Russians have done something different. And I think it signals where they're going with things. And I will tell you this, Article 5 of NATO, yeah, America will be involved. So you know who we are here. You know what we do. We are brought to you by My Digital Money. Now, I talked to you a lot about gold and silver and tried to minimize your risk in banks that could be at risk, and they're not going to fully disclose all the banks are at risk, just a partial list. What can you do to protect yourself? Well, I don't think you should put all your eggs in one basket. I'm a big proponent of gold and silver, as you know, and I'm a participant in it. But also, too, crypto is another way to diversify. And My Digital Money is the most reputable crypto company I know, dealing in XRP and Bitcoin and so forth. And I know the CEO quite well. I've known him for years. A stand-up guy. And they're very similar to other corporations we deal with as advertisers that put you, the customer, first. And crypto is something you need to look at because it's going to go to unbelievable highs. Just like gold and silver will because of a failing dollar. Now, I think Trump can soften the blow, but he's got to go to something alternative. And I'm telling you right now, when they signed the stablecoin bill that passed Congress and the president's signature went on it this week, didn't get a lot of fanfare with that, did you? Yeah, it did pass. It signals a shift towards crypto, at least in part. And crypto has reached a high of 111,000. It's dipped a little bit. Now's a good time to get in, but I don't buy the highs and lows in crypto because over time, crypto is going to explode. And it has previously. I mean, in the last year and a couple of months, it's gone from what? About 60,000 to 111,000. Well, 111,000 is projected to go to 300,000 within a year. And within 5 years, it could very well be a million. Millionaires are going to be created in this, and you want to be with a company that's reputable, and that's My Digital Money. Go to mydigitalmoney.com to find out more. And again, no pressure. They're not going to push you to do anything. They'll answer your questions, then help you facilitate a deal. Mydigitalmoney.com. Well, we're going to, for our visual audience, show you a map, and for the ones in our podcasts and our radio networks, we're going to talk about what I'm looking at here visually. And what I'm looking at visually is this map of Russia bordered by the Baltics, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Kaliningrad, and Poland. And Belarus lies between Poland and Russia, but Poland does share part of its southeastern border with Russia. Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania could be conquered in hours. Yeah, by Russia. I believe what's it, Estonia has a manned army of 20,000 soldiers. Okay, now Kaliningrad, which is, you skip over, this is really interesting. Belarus is a satellite country of Russia. It borders Russia and Poland, Lithuania, and Latvia. Kaliningrad lies on the other side of Lithuania, okay, away from Belarus, away from Russia. It's not adjacent, it's separated by Baltic NATO members. But Kaliningrad belongs to Russia. Now, the people, I've covered this before, in Kaliningrad don't want to be under Russia. They don't want to be, but they don't have a choice. Russia has 120,000 troops and strong weaponry. And also, too, the port, the major port in Kaliningrad, is the only warm water port that Russia has access to that does not freeze over in the winter. And it borders the Baltic Sea. This is key. Now, one, the people don't want Kaliningrad. It's part of a separatist movement we see sweeping the country. New California, you got Ottawa, Saskatchewan, Alberta. You've got all of these areas that are talking about freeing independence from their controlling governmental mechanisms. They don't want any part of the autocratic rule they preserve to be in place. Kaliningrad's no different, but Russia's not going to let this go. They are not going to let it go. And it was a deal that Russia made with the collapse of the Soviet Union in 1989, 1990. They said, we have to have a buffer against NATO. And they do. They do. Belarus has one small sliver into Kaliningrad. Lithuania said they're going to shut this down. It's an act of war because the Suwalki Gap, which lies between Belarus, the puppet state of Russia, and Kaliningrad, very narrow, but it's a land-based way to keep Kaliningrad reinforced. Poland has armed the entire eastern border, and that includes this Suwalki Gap that bridges Belarus into Kaliningrad for resupply in an overland route. Too expensive to fly everything in. Now, this gets really, really interesting because I believe military action with Kaliningrad will trigger World War III. Poland is not going to allow a buildup on its border. Poland is now spending more money on defense than the United States, a higher GDP percentage, 5.1% to be exact. They want to build the largest army in Europe. They're on their way. They're at 200,000 now. They've said by the end of this year, they're going to have 350,000. They eventually want to be at 500,000. And for a country of 36 million people, that's huge. That's a huge size of your army. They've also instituted universal military training that is mandatory for all men. It's voluntary for women. So you have a huge public buy-in. The people are willing to pay tax. And I'll tell you why, because the Poles know their history. They know what happened to their country when they got overrun by Germany, the Warsaw Ghetto. You know your history, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And then they know what happened during the Cold War, where Polish movements for independence were put down brutally by Russian tanks. Happened there, happened in Hungary. So the Polish people know, and they know that the best way to stop it is not to fight German panzer tanks on horseback that they were forced to do in World War II, and they lasted only 2 weeks. It's to meet force with force. And so they're advocating for more weapons from the United States. They're getting it. They're getting tactical support from the United States and from the rest of NATO. Poland is really at the front line of stopping an eastern advance with Russia. Now, excuse me, if I were Putin, he's bogged down in Ukraine. We're going to actually cover that in the next segment. He is not going to win the war in Ukraine at this present time. In fact, he could lose the war because he's quickly running out of resources, something else we're going to cover in a separate post. So Russia's in a position now of desperation. I believe they have under 60 days to act. And I based on an economic figures, like I said, I'll cover that separately because I don't want this piece to go on for an hour. But what we're looking at here in this segment is the role of Kaliningrad. If Poland feels that Belarus is being armed to the teeth and troops are mustering on their eastern border, I'm telling you right now, Poland and Lithuania will attack Kaliningrad and take on the 120,000 Russian soldiers. If Putin goes on the offensive first, many of those 120,000 soldiers will go northwards and invade Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, thus gaining control of the Balkans and hold Poland off with a reserve force on the border of Kaliningrad. And if I were Putin, I would hope that the action would be swift enough that we could sue for peace. And he regains part of the old Soviet empire of the Warsaw Bloc nations, Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, knowing that he's not going to be able to occupy Poland, but he gains valuable land and seaport access in these three countries, which Russia severely lacks in its trading. And it's a way that Putin go back to the oligarchs that are putting pressure on him in Ukraine and say, look, we may not be able to win in Ukraine right away, but we're winning here. And this is something that I believe it has to be a secondary consideration for Putin before he runs out of resources. Otherwise, as I said yesterday, if Putin gets down to bare bones and can't meet the manufacturing needs of his military and he's running out of manpower, he's got a short shelf life to win the war in Ukraine, and that's not going to happen. We had last week 7,000 declared deserters in one battalion of Russian soldiers. One platoon was reported by the Ukrainian foreign ministry. One platoon of Russia in Ukraine, Donbass region, they killed their platoon commander and promptly surrendered to the Ukrainians. You've got widespread opposition to the war. Homelessness is increasing in places like Moscow and St. Petersburg. It's not good. Putin sees the door of opportunity closing, and this may be his secondary plan. I really believe World War III could start with Kaliningrad, because if Poland and Russia engage, if Lithuania is invaded or Latvia is invaded, Article 5, Section 5s bring in all of NATO, including the United States. That's not something I want to see. That's not something that Trump wants to see. And I believe Trump gave a 50-day deadline. And you're probably wondering why 50 days? Because as I have covered here for a few months now, that's when I believe critical shortages in Russian manufacturing for the war really come to the forefront. Putin will be out of time. So it's either launch an invasion from Kaliningrad, take over the Baltics and sue for peace, or the use of tactical nuclear weapons. I think it's one or the other. This is Russia's plan B. Plan C, I would hope that calmer heads would prevail and we would have peace agreements that would be meaningful and lasting. But unfortunately, Putin is showing himself not to be reasonable or lasting. And I get the feeling he's got the hot seat under him. Putin has always been a skilled negotiator. Right now, he's as clumsy as an ox on three legs. Why? Because he's getting pressure from the oligarchs. They want financial returns from the military expenditures. It's the only thing I can conclude. Very volatile times in Europe right now. And you notice Trump didn't have to do any arm twisting to say to Europe and NATO, you better get your spending up above 2%. Well, they went to 4% except for Portugal. Poland's over 5% because Poland can see what's coming. It isn't interesting. The military buildup in Poland is not being challenged by their public. There are no protests. There's only support. They know their history. They know what they're facing. I'm Dave Hodges. This is The Common Sense Show. Check out our newsletter. TheCommonSenseShow.com is where you go. You click on the newsletter link in the upper right-hand corner. Put in your email. No, we do not sell your data. That's unethical. We would never do that. And you will get an email that recapitulates everything we've done in the previous 24 hours. One-stop shopping. And best of all, it's free. See you back here next time.